and welcome to TwerpCast episode number 68, OscarCast 2013. And it's award season again. Damn it. So we at TwerpCast are obligated to rage against the machine of Hollywood elite. If we disappear, report us to the local authorities. I'd like to introduce you to Oscar hopeful Jim Caswell, executive producer of TwerpCast and leading man most likely to bury his face in Jennifer Lawrence's uneven boobs.
And he's Doug Zeitlin, co-executive producer of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, and not an Oscar hopeful because he just doesn't give a...
And man most likely to bury his face in between Jennifer Lawrence's legs!
Dude, I like you, but we're not going halvesies. I'll tell you what, I'll take Jennifer Lawrence and you can have Scarlett Johansson.
I'm not going to argue with that. I have nothing funny to say.
As Doug said, we are once again rolling around to Oscar season, which comes at the tail end of all the other award ceremonies, so therefore everything is pretty much cinched.
Not that we're cynical or anything, but we might as well tell you who the award winners are going to be before they're announced.
And we're not even going to do anything so lame as to hold a blank envelope up against our forehead. To get things started, we're going to discuss the category of Best Supporting Actress. The nominees are Amy Adams for The Master, Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables, Sally Field for Lincoln, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, and Jackie Weaver for Silver Lining Playbook. I do find this category very interesting because you basically have Lois Lane going up against Selena Kyle and Aunt May.
In the non-nerd universe, I think these are all like spectacular actresses. This is an incredible competition. This is not like, okay, this one's going to get in, everybody else is just fluff. I would love to see Sally Field get another Oscar.
Yeah, none of these are pity nominations.
Yes, thank you. Amy Adams, I think every red-blooded American man should be in love with her, even if you're not in lust with her.
Yes, in the marry, bang, or kill category, she's in the marry category.
Helen Hunt won for As Good As It Gets. Maybe now she could get an Oscar for a movie that deserves to get it.
I don't know. I thought it took a great deal of acting on her part to show any interest whatsoever in Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, point taken there. But seriously, despite the fact that she did that awful Mad About You television series, I like Helen Hunt. I think she's a good actress.
I'm going to say that Anne Hathaway is going to walk away with this. Not only because the Golden Globes and the Screen Actors Guild tells us so, but because she had the biggest stretch of all the actresses to play her part.
Anne Hathaway has really developed the most as an actress since her childhood days. If you just start her career at The Princess Diaries and look at her strictly as acting talent, she's really come an incredibly far way. And, you know, if you want to be just incredibly crass, she's really beautiful.
Which is the other reason why she'll probably get the Oscar, because she actually had to ugly herself up a little bit. And it seems to be a prerequisite for winning in this specific category. If you ugly yourself up, you will get nominated and you will win.
It's amazing actresses like Glenn Close and Susan Sarandon don't get more Oscars. But I guess I would have to say it's impossible to make Anne Hathaway look ugly at this point in her career. But I'm going to pretend that she's winning the Oscar for Batman and not for Les Mis. Because as spectacular as this movie is supposed to be, and the talent that's in this movie, I cannot find myself caring less about a movie.
It's funny, my sister desperately wanted to see Les Miserables. I mean, we're talking the same level of desperation that we had to go see Dark Knight Rises. And it seems like, without really truly being a chick flick, it really is a chick flick. Women just are drawn to it, and we're not saying that it's just because it's a musical. We've gone on record before as liking musicals, but Les Miserables has never been one that I've sat there and gone, oh yeah, I really want to see this musical. It's depressing. I sat through it once, and I was just like, oh, this is just horrifyingly depressing.
Hey, that's once more than me, and I have wanted to see other musicals. I saw Joel Schumacher's version of The Phantom. And, wow, I really hate Joel Schumacher. But there's no way on earth that I could like this movie. I mean, the protagonist of the story is a pedophile and a murderer. How can you like this movie?
So, final judgment, who are you picking?
Anne Hathaway.
Ditto. Best Supporting Actor. The nominees are Alan Arkin for Argo, Christopher Waltz for Django Unchained, The D is Silent, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, and Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln.
Again, I would have to say here is a group of actors who all deserve an Oscar, and there's no pity nominations in this group.
We also have a collection of actors who all have an Oscar. So you can't even sit there and go, oh, well, four of these guys have one, this guy doesn't, so he'll probably get it. They've all got an Oscar.
Well, why don't we start with the first on the list?
Well, Alan Arkin has been nominated multiple times, but Argo seems to be the pet of Hollywood right now. There was such an outrage that Ben Affleck didn't get nominated for Best Director in the Hollywood circles that it almost feels like they might give it to Alan Arkin just to make up for not nominating Ben Affleck.
You know, I wish I had seen Argo. It's coming out on DVD soon, so I actually will get a chance to see it. But as far as Alan Arkin goes, he's one of those actors that's really hit and miss. I've liked him in a lot of stuff, and I've not liked him in a lot of stuff. I may someday forgive him for doing that god-awful Inspector Clouseau movie.
Well, I've never even heard of that. That says something. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Alan Arkin. He's more miss than hit for me. Of the five actors on this list, I would probably rank him at number 5.
I can understand that. I guess my only question is, how did he do in this movie? I have no way of rating that.
Unfortunately, neither do I. I'm like you. I'm wanting to see Argo. I will see it when it comes out on video. I will reserve a copy of it at my local library. But with money being as tight as it's been this past year, we only went and saw movies that we knew we were going to like. And we didn't really indulge much in the artsy-fartsy stuff. We've done it in the past, but we just couldn't afford to do it this year.
So what's next on the list?
Christopher Waltz in Django Unchained. Speaking of money being just too tight, this is a movie that I wanted to see in the theater. I am a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, as you well know, and you still have pity upon my soul for it. So I wanted to see Django Unchained, and I just couldn't get the chance to get to the theaters. It is going to be a rental as soon as it comes out for me. But for that list of actors of those five, if Alan Arkin is at number 5, Christopher Waltz is at number 2 and steadily climbing.
How can I follow that other than to say, I hate Quentin Tarantino. I think he's a talentless hack. I don't want Christopher Waltz to get it simply because it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Now, I know if Argo is the number 1 favorite in Hollywood right now, Django Unchained is a pretty close number 2. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it just is a number 2. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him get it. I know he got the BAFTA award.
Now, I am going to point out one thing, and that's the fact that as much as you hate Quentin Tarantino, of his 8 movies that he has directed in the past 20 years, like 5 of those 8 have been nominated for Oscars.
And they've all been reprehensible.
He doesn't write characters that you're supposed to like.
Then why write the movie at all?
Oh, cool. Then we can go on out and cancel Punisher?
I have no problem with that.
He has a interesting take on storytelling, and he's not for everyone. I won't condemn you for not liking him. I'm just saying that he has a different style than you're used to.
No, I don't mind visual storytelling. I just don't like the writing at all. I mean, it's possible you can go to a comic book store and find a comic book which is absolutely brilliant artwork, which is super modern, which you've never seen before, and then you find out it's written by somebody that you absolutely hate.
One of these days he's going to produce a movie. I'm going to take you to go see it and blindfold you during the opening credits so you don't see that it's a Quentin Tarantino film and see what you think of it without knowing.
I'll know. I mean, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
All right, he already has an Oscar. Let's move on.
Robert De Niro.
You know, there's a lot of things that Robert De Niro earned an Oscar for. This is not one of them. Silver Linings Playbook is an absolutely okay movie. There's nothing wrong with it. I can't say it was stupid. I can't say it was poor storytelling or poor writing. But it was average. Talk about a movie that's overhyped. Silver Linings Playbook deserves 2 stars. If somebody asked me, should I go see this movie? I'd say, if you like quirky romantic comedies, sure, go ahead, see it.
If you like Jennifer Lawrence, go see it. If you like Bradley Cooper, go see it.
If you want to see the greatest movie in the whole world, well, you might want to skip it. And with all due deference to Robert De Niro, he is a spectacular actor. He was very little other than set dressing for this movie.
Which brings us to Tommy Lee Jones.
I hear through the grapevine he's a real dick. In real life. But that being said, I've never seen a movie with Tommy Lee Jones I haven't liked.
Yeah, that list that I mentioned earlier, Tommy Lee Jones is up at the top. Like you said, I've seen some real stinker of films that he's been in, but I never had a problem with him in those movies. And of course, the movie that he's in is Lincoln. I'm a huge Abraham Lincoln fan. This was another one of those movies. I really wanted to see it when it was in the theaters. Didn't get the chance to. Am anxiously looking forward to it being on DVD so I can see it. I've heard nothing but fantastic things about it.
Spoiler alert. He dies at the end.
This is a tough one because Christopher Waltz won the Golden Globe for his performance. Tommy Lee Jones won the Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. So we can't even really rely 100% on who's won awards before. Strictly speaking, I'm going to actually throw my hat in for Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm torn because I truly believe I hate Quentin Tarantino so much it's going to be Christopher Waltz.
You think the universe is that much out to get you?
Yes!
And I'm the paranoid one. Oh wait, I'm not paranoid. People really are out to get me.
Yes, they are. So I'm going to have to go with Christopher Waltz with one of those conditional, I really hope it goes to Tommy Lee Jones.
Cool, this will probably be the tiebreaker for us. Which means that it'll go to you. Because I really do have people out to get me.
And the universe, don't forget the universe.
Best Actress nominees. Emmanuel Riva for Armor. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. Naomi Watts for The Impossible. And I know that I'm going to butcher this badly. Gwen Zahan Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Alright, let's primarily keep this discussion to the two most likely. Although the young girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild, she is spectacular. She's very smart, great actress. But usually the children don't earn the Oscar.
Anna Paquin really was the rarity for the piano. And look what she's doing now.
Anytime Anna Paquin wants to play my clarinet, she may. So, the Golden Globes were split. Jennifer Lawrence won for the Best Comedy or Musical, and Jessica Chastain won for Zero Dark Thirty. Screen Actors Guild went to Jennifer Lawrence. Now, right now, Jennifer Lawrence has all of her indie cred. Plus, she's on top of the Hollywood pie right now.
She's been in two huge blockbusters in the past couple of years. She's a Hollywood darling. Everybody wants to work with her. And like you said, she's got the indie stuff that she loves to do, and people love her doing that too. She basically has her pick and choose. She can do whatever project she wants to do.
That's gotta be great for a 22-year-old on being on the top of their career.
I'm gonna make this simple. I think it's gonna be Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm actually very glad to see that Jennifer Lawrence is getting an Oscar at the age of 22. I just hope that her career continues to rise.
I like Jennifer Lawrence. I don't think I'm as in love with her as the rest of Hollywood is. Despite my misogynistic comments toward her, I think she's just, again, okay. Maybe a little more than Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, Silver Linings Playbook I gave like 2 stars. Jennifer Lawrence, maybe I'd give her 3 out of 4 stars. I mean, good, definitely. But spectacular, I'm not really sure. Jessica Chastain, I would give her at least 0.5 star more. She was so good in Zero Dark Thirty. She's definitely my call. This is who I would vote for if I were in the Academy. Zero Dark Thirty got a lot of bad press, but it was not a bad movie. It was really good. And I don't normally go in for the dramas, but it was a thriller that really kept you on the edge of your seat. So if I were voting, that's the way I would go. But my gut tells me it's going to be Jennifer Lawrence.
Best Actor nominees are Bradley Cooper for Silver Lining Playbook, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Denzel Washington for The Flight, Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables, and Joaquin Phoenix for The Master.
Wow, can't they just like hand out 5 Oscars? Honestly, since we've been doing TwerpCast, this is the best, most consistent list of actors and actresses that I've seen that have done such amazing work.
This was another one where 2 people won through the Golden Globes. Hugh Jackman won for Best Actor in a Musical. Daniel Day-Lewis won for Best Actor in a Drama. Daniel Day-Lewis, however, took the Screen Actors Guild Award, and he's who I'm going to pick as well. Not only because of the fact that he won 2 of the awards, but also he played Lincoln. I said before, I'm a huge Lincoln fan. I have to go with Lincoln. Added on to both of those facts, though, I heard that he was absolutely fabulous, and he got so into character that he basically became Lincoln for the duration of the shoot. So that's commitment. That's worthy of being awarded.
I heard the exact same story, only it was told a little differently. It was told that he was so insane that he made people call him Mr. President for the entire shoot.
Yeah, that was pretty much the version that I heard too, and I was just trying to be nice.
Oh, okay. Really, looking at this list, if you were working this backwards, there's only one person that you could really say, this person is definitely not getting the Oscar, and that would be Joaquin Phoenix. I think it's going to be a long time before they forgive him for talking about going crazy while you're making a movie, growing that beard, and going to other award ceremonies like he was insane in the head, and going on Letterman like he was insane in the head. It's going to be a real long time before people forget about that.
Talking about the fact that he was retiring, that he was becoming a professional musician. Yeah, Hollywood kind of felt like he pulled one huge practical joke on them, and it takes Hollywood a little while to forgive. They do eventually forgive if you do enough good stuff, but it's a little too soon. I believe you're right.
I would say a close second and still far away. I mean, if you say close, like the moon is close to the earth, that kind of close, would be Bradley Cooper, and not because he's done anything idiotic like Phoenix, but just because he really hasn't paid his dues yet. He has been a comedic actor for such a long time. That's going to be a while before Hollywood's like, okay, we can give him an Oscar.
See, you say he hasn't done anything wrong. I don't think you've seen The Hangover 2.
Fortunately, I haven't. I mean, he is riding on Jennifer Lawrence's coattails right now.
I wouldn't mind riding on Jennifer Lawrence's coattails. Wow, I feel like such a dirty old man saying things like that. I'm technically old enough to be her father. But she's 22, so she's legal!
You got it.
Instead of feeling like a dirty old man, maybe I just need to feel like I'm Michael Douglas. Nope, doesn't help. Still feeling like a dirty old man.
Yeah, I don't want to feel like the guy who's been hanging around kissing Matt Damon for the last 6 months. I mean, not that it's wrong, but if I'm Michael Douglas, I'm kissing Catherine Zeta-Jones.
As much as she'll let ya. I'm sure given Denzel Washington's ego, he believes that he has this one tied up.
I really like Denzel. Denzel doesn't typically do movies that I would say excite me. Again, I'm not into the drama, but everything that I've seen him in, I have been impressed with him and thought it was a good movie. I've never seen a bad movie with Denzel Washington.
He is a very good actor. Again, using your 4-star rating system, I would say that he's probably a good 2.5, 3, even at times a 3.5-star actor. The problem is that he believes that he's a 5-star actor.
Hard for me to comment on that, because I think there's a lot of America that thinks he's a 5-star actor.
You know, I have no problem with other people believing that you're a 5-star actor. I have no problem with you being a 5-star actor. It's when people start believing in their own hype that the ego starts to grow and gets a little stuffy in that room with...
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I think Denzel Washington is the last of what I would call the name actor. I don't know what else to call them other than that. I mean, growing up, if there was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, you didn't actually look at what the name of the movie was. You didn't actually look at the plot. You just went, ooh, I'm going to go see the new Arnold movie. Or if Sylvester Stallone was coming out with a new movie. Nobody thought that a Sylvester Stallone movie was going to win an Oscar. Spike One did. Everybody just went, oh, I want to see the next Stallone movie. And I think Denzel Washington is the last of that crowd.
It's funny, because I remember seeing Stallone films and Schwarzenegger films where those names were in bigger print than the name of the movie, because people realized the name alone is going to draw in an audience.
And I think really the problem is that doesn't happen anymore. You get people who are really big name actors that are in these multi-million dollar movies, and people are like, what is the movie? They really want to know what they're going to see. To use another modern example, look at Silver Linings Playbook. It's nominated for all sorts of awards. Everybody in Hollywood is all over this. The critics love this movie, but you couldn't just go, Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook. It wasn't enough to bring in $100 or $200 million.
True, but I am going to say that with all of her popularity that has grown because of the blockbusters, I'd be willing to bet that Silver Linings Playbook did better in the box office than it would have if she was a no-name.
I agree with that completely. But for Flight, if you just put Denzel Washington, next movie, it still made more money than Silver Linings Playbook.
But does he deserve an Oscar for the name?
Not for the name. Haven't seen the movie, so I don't want to comment to say he was good or bad in the movie. Like I said, I like him.
Like I said, I like his stuff too. I just sometimes get the feeling that he likes his stuff more than I like his stuff.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Which brings us down to the picks.
So then you're left between Hugh Jackman and Daniel Day-Lewis. Again, if it were me, if I were in the Academy, I would go with Hugh Jackman. I really like Hugh Jackman. I think as an actor, he has just an incredible range where he can go from a comic book Wolverine who is completely one-sided to this singing sensation of Les Mis. I would give it to him. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that people are going to go, Daniel Day-Lewis is an awesome method actor. Read that as insane. And this is an American icon that he is portraying. It's going to win.
I will say that if anybody on this list were to beat Daniel Day-Lewis, I hope it's Hugh Jackman. But I'm putting my money on Daniel Day-Lewis.
All right, Jim. That brings us to the cream of the crop.
The nominees for Best Picture are Amour, Argo, Beast of the Southern Wild, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. The Best Director nominees are David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook, Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild, Michael Haneke for Amour, Paul Thomas Anderson for The Master, and Steven Spielberg for Lincoln. Now let me guess, you'd like to see Ben Zeitlin win.
Well, he is my cousin. No, I'll be honest, if we had like 30 seconds to end this program, I would just say, let's go with Lincoln and Spielberg. We're done.
That's my pick as well, but solely because Ben Affleck didn't get nominated. Again, Hollywood loves Argo, Hollywood loves Ben Affleck right now. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if somebody just handed their statue over to him. People are so in love with him right now.
When it comes to Ben Affleck, he is the opposite of what I've said about some of these other people being like overrated. Ben Affleck is probably the most underrated person who's not on this list. Now, that's not to say that everything he's done has been gold. I mean,
Daredevil.
Yeah, he still owes me $8 for Daredevil.
Him and his wife.
Anything where his wife is wearing skin-tight unitard is worth me paying $8 to see. I mean, Some of All Fears was bad, but not because he was bad in it.
It was just badly written, badly directed, badly produced, badly...
Yeah, exactly. There's only so much you can do. And all right, going back to the beginning of his super career, I'm not a fan of Good Will Hunting, but people love that movie.
I saw Good Will Hunting. I enjoyed Good Will Hunting. I really liked Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. Was it the masterpiece that everybody tried to make it out to be? Not by my taste.
I am certainly awaiting Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season. Thanks, Kevin Smith.
Yeah, some of the best stuff that I've seen Ben Affleck in has been directed by Kevin Smith.
Absolutely. And I know that he thinks he's fat and stupid in Mallrats, but I love that movie.
Although I will say that the team-up between Ben Affleck and Kevin Smith did lead to one of Kevin Smith's worst films. And this isn't me just jumping on the bandwagon hating on Jersey Girl. It just wasn't a good movie, Kevin. We're sorry. It just wasn't.
Okay, Jersey Girl was not that bad. Jersey Girl was like a 2-star movie. It was funny. It was poignant. It was just okay. It was not up to Kevin Smith's standards. Kevin Smith's worst movie is Clerks 2.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that one was not that good either. But we still love you, Kevin. Really, we do.
Your early stuff makes up for some of this.
And in spite of what the critics said, I still enjoyed Cop Out. As we said earlier, I didn't get the chance to see Argo. I have extremely vague memories of the instance actually occurring. Yes, folks, I'm that old. So that alone makes me interested in seeing it and refamiliarizing myself with what happened. I had never even heard of Amour before it was announced as a Best Picture nominee. Same thing goes for Beast of the Southern Wild. I had wanted to see Django Unchained, Les Miserables we already talked about, Lincoln I've already talked about, Silver Linings Playbook we've already talked about. Zero Dark Thirty, I didn't really hear that much about it. It really did suffer from bad marketing. I really didn't know anything about it until it was basically already out of theaters. Life of Pi, I had heard about it. I know the book. It was produced by Ang Lee. And I'm sorry, as much as I enjoyed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, he's not directed anything that I've really enjoyed since then. His Hulk was just abominable. I think he's gotten to the point where he lets his political and philosophical beliefs have way too much say on the projects that he accepts and how he follows through on those projects. Sometimes you just gotta make a good movie for the sake of making a good movie.
Okay, to kind of go down that list with you, we got Amore. And on this list of movies, there couldn't be one lower on my desire to actually witness. And that's besides the fact that it's subtitled, and I hate subtitled movies. Argo is arguably the one that I want to see the most on the list. Beast of the Southern Wild was directed by Ben Zeitlin. I can't think of a better reason to go see it than that. Best Exotic, Marigold Hotel. You know, if I wanted to see a Judi Dench movie, I'd go see Skyfall again. Now, that's a 4-star movie. Django Unchained. Okay. Now, admittedly, I said there's not one less than I want to see than Amore. It's not that this one isn't less than Amore. This one, I want to take the director out and do some of the things that happened in the movie to him. Les Mis. Okay, that's right above Amore. Okay, it does have Anne Hathaway in it. And if Anne Hathaway were having, like, wardrobe malfunctions in it, maybe I would go see it.
Oh, she would hate you for that comment.
The Life of Pi. The Hulk is probably the one thing of his I've ever seen that I have enjoyed. I wouldn't give it 4 stars. No way. I would certainly give it 2 stars, though. That movie was absolutely worth the $3 I paid to go see it at a matinee. Yes, this movie was better than Daredevil and Elektra put together.
Which apparently happens a lot lately.
Lincoln. Our 60th president and winner of the Academy Award. Silver Linings Playbook. Cute little rom-com about very insane people falling in love with one another. Kind of reminds me of my life. Zero Dark Thirty. Now this is an incredible action flick. I really liked it. Like I said, it kept me on the edge of my seat the whole time. I don't necessarily think it's appropriate to win an Academy Award, though. I don't know. It would sort of be like having a stupid movie like Babe win an Academy Award.
If Ben Affleck is the number one person that people are ticked off that didn't get the nomination, Kathryn Bigelow not getting a nomination is a close second. After winning for Hurt Locker, people were just assuming that she'd at least get a nomination. So the fact that her name wasn't even on the nomination list really blew people away. Which is really kind of unfair to people like David Russell and Ben Zeitlin and Michael Haneke and Paul Thomas Anderson, because I think people would like to see Ben and Catherine on there 10 times more than any of those 4 people. And I think that is going to contribute to them not winning. People are going to give it to Steven Spielberg because he is the most recognized name on the list.
You know, he has a couple of Oscars already, but I don't think that's going to stop them from giving him another one. When you look at this list, and I don't mean to disparage any of these directors, because I think they all did a fine job. Spielberg really is the cream of the crop. The one category I'd say that was uneven so far that we've read, it is this category.
Yeah, Spielberg is just going to walk away with this one. If anybody else gets it, my jaw is going to be not only hitting the floor, but dropping through it and falling into the basement.
And I want my cousin Ben to win, but David Russell did it. It's only an okay movie, but he did an okay job with Silver Linings Playbook.
So, there you have our picks for the Oscars. Now, as with tradition at this time of year, tell us some of your favorites that you did get to see this year.
My favorite movies of the year are not on the Oscar list. My favorites are definitely The Avengers and Skyfall.
Now, that's not a fair statement. I'm pretty sure that both of those movies did get nominated for Oscars. They're just Oscars for special effects and things of that nature. I do agree with you. I not only drank the Kool-Aid, but added extra sugar and stirred it up and started serving it to my friends. Avengers was by far my favorite movie of the year. I did really enjoy Dark Knight Rises, even in spite of the spoilers. Skyfall was leaps and bounds better than Quantum of Solace.
And yet, Quantum of Solace was better than almost anything Roger Moore did.
No. Roger Moore's stuff wasn't that horrible.
A View to a Kill. Any man that finds Grace Jones attractive needs to turn in his man card.
Just like Grace Jones did. Okay, his early stuff wasn't that bad. His later stuff, it was just horrible, yucky, ick. but I still have a certain fondness for his earlier stuff. Of course, I saw his earlier stuff when I was in elementary school, so, you know, I was easier to please back then. So, once again, our favorites tend to be towards the top of the blockbusters as opposed to the top of the Oscars.
But we're not in a position where we need to blow smoke up anybody's ass.
Which is good, because smoking is bad for your lungs.
Yes, and sticking your nose in somebody's ass can give you brown lung. Ugh.
And pink eye.
That being said, we very much appreciate you listening to Twerpcast. Please feel free to give us any feedback. Please write Jim at twerponline.net. We can also be found on Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and Zanga.
Twerpcast has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2013. Thanks for listening, everybody.
They like me. They really like me.